Yes, about the cemetery at Lewistown. What prompted us to start talking about that?
Well, we were talking about over there in where the hospital.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The
or
old
like,
cemetery.
Like where the Métis first settled in, when they got to Lewistown. That during the Homestead Act, Jacob Corberly ended up with the property, and he went to Father Van de Hubbel and asked, basically, there's headstones on my property and I don't want my sheep trampling them, what can we do? And so Father Van de Hubbel, who is like the second priest of St. Leo's, and St. Leo's itself wasn't built till I think 1906, the brick structure that we know now. So it was a smaller wooden structure that they had as their church. He went to the Métis people who were his friends, and I guess Father Van de Hubbel spoke French because I think he was from Belgium or something, and don't quote me on that because I'm probably wrong, but he kind of had a kinship because of the French-speaking Métis. But he went to them and said, you know, what do we do? So they built a bunch of coffins. The women apparently had taken nails and nailed, using nails, made a cross on each of the coffins. And Father Van de Hubbel, out of his own money, bought white cloth to put over that. And they had like a 2 or 3 day requiem mass in the old St. Leo's, or the original St. Leo's. And then reburied them at Calvary Cemetery, which I believe...
Would you like me to get some plates out of the way for you? Would you like to
I'd love to that to go, yeah. I don't want to waste it. It's, I think it's good. But just, yeah. And I do believe, and it could have been Olette, but I've also heard another last name, and I can't remember what that was at the time, that had donated the property. A Métis family donated the property to the church. God, I wish I knew. But... And that might not even be true. It's just stuff I've read and or gotten a hold of. And they reburied them there. And there's actually two different sections of the cemetery where they're buried in smallest to largest. And I think there's about 74 to 79 people buried there, interred in these graves. And I think what's really interesting, and I think the Canadians would find it really interesting, is Madeline... Judith Wilkie's sister Madeline married Louis Riel.
Oh.
Not Louis Riel. Louis Riel's military commander, Gabriel Dumont.
Oh.
So Madeline Dumont is one of the people buried in that.
I saw that.
And that is, to me, a very big deal.
It is.
I mean, that's a lot of Métis history.
Yeah.
That's, and... They went there to escape the Red River Rebellion after that. That's how Madeline ended up there.
Ended up there in Lewistown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And apparently she had consumption at the time. Common cold, is that what that means, basically?
Yeah.
Or, and then I think a cart overtipped and it ended up dying and getting buried there and then reburied at... Yeah.
So you said that you were talking about the Red River carts they used for the caskets.
Well, that was the
initially
when they first came over. I think they went from Milk River area over to Lewistown and settled there in Lewistown. But there was a Bernard LaFountain that got sick along the way, and he ended up dying. So they stripped a Red River cart and formed a coffin and buried him, and did their best to, because there was no church at the time, to. Well, and I'm not sure. There might have been a church at the time. Maybe they just didn't know. Being so new, I don't know. But they ended up doing the best they could, giving him a Catholic mass to bury him.
Mm-hmm. Where was the location of that first cemetery?
I think it's guessing, or I don't know what led me to believe it, but kind of where Shopko is right now in Lewistown, where that Shopko building is, that's now closed, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Out in that direction. I don't know why I think that. And I guess it'd be easy to figure out where Jacob Corbley got his homestead. And right, figure out where the property is. And I do remember reading somewhere that there's water along that, and this is from Elizabeth Swann, from her writings for the church. And I think they did end up at the Montana Memory Project, but I'm not sure. But I know she wrote them for the diocese.
Okay. So you're interested in seeing some monuments, because right now,
yeah,
what do they have up there at the Calvary?
Nothing. And I did talk to the church. It probably took almost 2 years to kind of, I asked if I could come to their meeting and solicit the fact that I'd like to put a monument of some sort there. And I've got all that paperwork on it. And I finally did get okay, and I said, can you put it in writing? And they didn't do that or wouldn't do that, but I do have the people's names. And it's still the current priest now, because he was brand new then, I think. And I can't remember the lady's name, but...
Well, right now, so all it is just the parking bumpers. One's stone and one's asphalt.
Right, but, well, and she said where they believe it is, and I think... because I kind of have a pin dropped on a map where I think the two are. On a Google map, but...
I've got a picture of it on my phone.
Yeah, yeah. So, and basically there's trees back there. She said it wouldn't obstruct other... we could probably build it higher, high enough, because it wasn't going to obstruct other graves, you know. And I do think there's a mausoleum of some sort there. Somebody's got a little outbuilding or some sort of something for
back
family.
In, yeah, not close.
Yeah. Right. Right, so I'm like, well, that's high, but, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't work that way, apparently. But
okay,
they were
well,
all for it.
Well, we need to talk about this further then, so I'm going to...